So is it International Doubt Day today?
I'm skeptical.
Yeah, I doubt it.
It might be.
It could be. It might be. It could be. A joke no one will get. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997, and unlike weeks past, that is our call-in line, if you would like to give us a call. Love to hear from you. But today is International Doubt Day. Freethinkers Online are promoting an event called International Doubt Day, like I just said. Friends, if you no longer believe or are struggling with your faith, you are not alone. Many people have been where you are. Please send me a private message if you would like to talk about your doubts. I will keep your information and our conversation private, and I will do my best to answer your questions and provide support and resources to you as my friend. Apparently, this is what you're supposed to say in a, as a part of International Doubt Day. It looks like what it is it's a day where people get together, people who have doubt, specifically religious doubt, get together and say, hey, people who may be stuck. It's sort of like a clergy project for everyone, perhaps.
So it's kind of like what we do every Sunday.
Yeah, basically. It's...
I wasn't going to say that, but yeah, I suppose.
It's Ask an Atheist, but this time on Facebook.
Yay!
Again.
Well, it's other people, and that's really important, I think, I would be really remiss if I were to even begin to suggest that we were somehow emblematic of the entire movement.
No, that's a terrible idea.
I can suggest it, but it'd look bad if you did.
It would look bad if I did, but
right.
I suppose. But I'm not. I'm really not. Trust me.
I consider myself emblematic of everything.
you are the rune of the world,
that's
if
right.
you will.
I'm a paragon.
All right, 206-420-0997. Give me a call and help me unpack what the heck just happened. That would be great. This is the week after our 200th episode, so perhaps maybe our 201st episode. And if you're listening on the radio, you didn't hear it, and I may not have heard it, and I'm sorry about that because we had a lot of technical difficulties. But definitely go on the air and check it out. But I hear here in Tacoma they played the Dan Dennett interview again, which I mean, if you're gonna fail, fail forward, right?
Yeah.
Ah, boy. So, we have the Greece opinion in the Supreme Court. Is that what it is? It's the Greece opinion?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not just... It's not, the bird is the word or whatever. But anyway, there's a lot of stories that are happening all at once. It seems to happen immediately right after the Greece opinion. And I want to see... It's a supposition of mine. I'm not even going to call it a hypothesis. This is me guessing. I'm not even going to, but there's just a lot of weird stuff happening. For example, a sophomore at Southside High School in New York has asked for legal assistance from the American Humanist Association after being threatened with discipline for not standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. The student was allegedly told she was unpatriotic and disrespectful. The AHA alleges in a letter that the school this was not an isolated case. Rather, teachers and an administrator have inappropriately pressured students to participate in the pledge. Okay, there is an update to that, but I want to sit here first. But
I can definitely plug in some information for the update. But as far as this whole thing goes, this just keeps happening over and over. What's going on?
Yeah, I talked about this last week, or not last week, but a couple of weeks ago. I actually find the concept of pledges kind of weird and hinky, and I'm not really certain that it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I'm definitely not in favor of pledges where I have to say things that I just openly do not agree with. I mean, if I have to lie in order to give a pledge, it's not a pledge.
Yeah.
Well, also, when you have, kindergartners saying this, they don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
That's true. It could be sort of like an informed consent issue.
That's another thing where it stops being, where it stops being... patriotism or something positive, and it just turns in when you have kindergartners doing it, just turns into forced indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
And while I definitely don't like talking, or when I definitely don't like and like talking about forced indoctrination of religious concepts, I don't like forced indoctrination, period. I mean, it just seems like a bad idea.
I don't care what the topic is. Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, this is just a dogmatic approach to patriotism, which I think is ultimately destructive. personally.
I agree. Yeah, and you know, when I was in high school, sort of me and my group of friends that were, I mean, this was the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And so we were expected to stand, and we were expected to put our hands over our hearts and say something. And so we would just sort of change the last line to something that we did believe in at the time, which was with Metallica and Justice for All. And yeah, well, one time our drama teacher sort of overheard that and actually chuckled about it and was like, nobody needs to correct these people on that. It's okay for kids to be funny, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah. So you do have some extra information about this.
Yeah, just recently, Superintendent Hillary Austin, to her credit, actually wrote a letter to all the school district and kind of put them back in line, quoting the Supreme Court judgment that came back quite a long time ago, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, said that what they're doing is basically completely wrong, as we all knew.
So the school district actually agrees in this case.
Yeah.
And is backing off. Well, yep. That's good. All's well that ends well in that case, but...
Well, you know, while we outside of the school might not know who this girl is, everybody in the school does.
Yeah.
So hopefully she's not having any
so
retribution.
So there might be sort of a Jennifer Ahlquist effect happening here that we might need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Okay. I can definitely see that. I just... Does the iceberg effect, is that happening here? Are we only seeing the tip of the iceberg as far as that goes? Is this happening everywhere and nobody's reporting it?
Well, I'm sure. I mean, this is this is probably happening all over because, you know, this certainly isn't the only religious high school, and it's certainly not the only atheist student.
Yeah. Fair point. Moving on. The Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has dismissed an appeal by Michael Newdow to get In God We Trust removed from the U.S. currency. The case, which was originally thrown out of court last September, alleges that a group of defendants headed by Newdow are unable to use paper money regularly because of their beliefs. The court, however, claimed that there was no violation of the Establishment Clause. Newdow promises to bring the case to other circuit courts.
This one confuses me a little bit. I don't really like In God We Trust on the money.
Why would we?
I don't think there's any reason for it to be there. But to claim that you are unable to use the money regularly, I don't know. I feel like that's maybe a little bit of a stretch.
Well, if currency is representative of the country, if you know, currency is national and currency is representative of the country that you're in, and it's supposed to be and that country is supposed to be representative of you, mm-hmm. to have money on it that has that says In God We Trust, when one of the founding phrases of the, you know, of the country involved, which admittedly is being increasingly ignored, is no establishment of religion, seems a bit weird to me.
I'm not denying that at all.
Why can't we just go to Canada and have their money with, like, Space Lab and the giant robot arm?
And birds.
And the queen.
And birds. I could live without the queen, but the birds, I could... not one loon, the actual loon. You know, that... Hey-o! yeah, no, they put astronauts and Canadarm. The Canadian arm built in Canada for the glory of the Dominion. there's a backstory there. We have a rule in Ask an Atheist called the Canadarm rule, which is you don't use the word atheism in a title of a show. Because back when I was a kid, when you have ham radio, one of the few things you're allowed to rebroadcast are transmissions from NASA. So we would do that whenever there was a shuttle mission. And every time that they brought out Canadarm, which is a fantastic piece of technology, Canada is proud of it, and boy, should they be, is one of the few things on the shuttle that worked right. But they always had this little space thing that they would say is like, you know, Canadarm, the Canadian robotic arm built in Canada by Canadians for, and then I always put in the back of my head, for the glory of the Dominion. and so I that when Ask an Atheist came along years later, we'd start using atheism in a lot of our titles, and I kept hearing in the back of my mind, Canadarm, 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 Canadarm. And so I turned it into the Canadarm rule.
Sounds a little to me like the Beneath the Planet of the Apes, of the bomb, by the bomb, and for the bomb.
Yeah.
I'm sure Mike is somewhere correcting me right now because he knows the exact line.
Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. Give us a call and correct us on that Planet of the Apes line. Oh, boy. Once again, In God We Trust on the money, I disagree with. I'd like to see it gone. I really like the original motto of the country. I mean, it's not, we weren't the only ones to use it, but I like it. It's a nice one, and it's all nice in Latin, so it looks vaguely religious, so why not go with that? But I don't care about that quite as much as...
Wasn't it also Ross Perot's campaign slogan?
Was it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be
United
surprised.
We stand, America, right? E pluribus unum.
Yeah, I suppose it is. But, you know, that doesn't bother me quite as much as the other thing, which is every legislative session in the United States opening up with a convocation, which is definitely something we're working on and something we're talking about. But...
I keep wondering if Newdow is actually an atheist or not, if he's just kind of like S.E. Cupp, where he just keeps on losing these cases just to kind of weaken our argument.
Well, has he won any cases? I'm pretty sure he's won a couple.
Really?
Well, do you have to... Could he just be our Don Quixote, I suppose? You know, finding the windmill and tilting at it? I can respect that. I totally can. I mean, it puts us in a bad tactical position, I suppose, if we're going to get all game theory. But these questions, if we're going to have a representative democracy, these questions do have to be raised.
It's kind of like Ralph Nader. He just keeps on losing stuff.
I see what you did there. Speaking of losing things, a federal court has dismissed three atheist group suit against the IRS in which they accuse the agency of unfairly privileging churches over secular nonprofits. American Atheists, Atheists of Northern Indiana, and Atheist Archives of Kentucky have argued that tax filing requirements for nonprofit atheist groups are unfairly tougher than they are for religious groups. The suit contended that under the Equal Protection and Establishment Clauses in the Constitution, churches and other religious organizations should have to meet the same standards that other nonprofits meet in disclosing information on their donors, employee salaries, and other details. David Silverman of American Atheist vowed to fight the ruling. This is an interesting one. Yeah, this is a fairly horrible one. Because as being somebody who has also been in charge of a number of nonprofits for non-religious purposes, both for the atheism community and otherwise, it's a lot of work keeping that nonprofit status up, and that's a lot of work that churches manifestly do not have to do.
They just carte blanche don't have to write anything down and submit anything.
So what I would like to know about this is which way, as a person who's very involved in nonprofits, which way do you feel that this should go? Should it be made as hard for churches as it is for secular nonprofits, or should secular nonprofits get it as easy as churches get it?
Well,
which do you prefer?
Which aspect of my personality are you speaking to? The one who wants everything to work for everybody, or the guy who's kind of a jerk?
I see.
Because, wow, it'd be really nice if I could just not tell anybody anything and do whatever I liked and have everything be okay with that. But that's not going to lead to a better society. I think it should be harder for everybody.
And makes sense.
That's really what it comes down to.
Open books for all.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, and I really should churches be tax-free is the next question. But we're, no. I think that's a battlefield a long way from here, personally.
There was a little interesting tidbit that I liked on this story. The judge basically directed David Silverman and American Atheists towards the thought that they could actually become a church and get their own tax-free status also.
Now, a little bit of history. The American Humanist Association in the 80s tried to do that, and it created a huge rift in the organization, which is how Humanists of Washington got its start, because it was initially a branch of the American Humanist Association, and they said, oh, we're a religious group now. They said, no, thank you.
You mentioned this earlier before the show, and didn't they lost like half of their subscribers?
Something like that, yeah.
Just a massive...
I like that.
Yeah.
I actually like the idea and for a number of reasons because, well, I mean, what do you think?
You know, I'm not really sure what to do with this.
Yeah.
Do I want there to be atheist church-like communities or maybe even church-like buildings? Yeah. Yeah.
Of course,
I think
yeah.
that, you know, like the Secular Humanist Center and all that kind of stuff. So it's a great idea. But on the other hand, one of the things that church communities are sort of notorious to is homogenizing opinions.
Right.
And as atheists, we're a very diverse community. And I sort of fear that if we had organizational leaders in the sense of you know, people who are sort of leading a service or something like that, that we might end up with the same sort of problems of homogenization.
I think we're already kind of there in that we had the, you know, have or had, depending on your take on it, the four horsemen. Like we've had, mm-hmm. we have our atheist spokesmen, mm-hmm. but I don't think that has prevented us from, you know, continuing to fragment in the atheism dialogue. And I don't think, you know, for all the work that they do at American Atheists, they're not the Archbishop of Atheism in the United States.
No.
You know, I mean, they're a civic organization that's helping us out, but or an organization interested in civics, perhaps I should say, but they're not trying to tell us what to do. And I think as long as the atheism community, you know, their organizations continue to not try to tell us what to do, we're probably okay. But there's an aspect that I like. I'm a computer guy. I like cheap hacks. Okay? Cheap hacks are what got me where I am today. And I like the idea of saying, you know, okay, let's be a religious organization. Let's parade all of the flaws of this system in front of you. In a context that you do not like, so that you can see the abuses in the system and maybe be interested in getting them fixed yourself.
Sort of like the logical conclusion of the courthouse monument issue.
Exactly.
Now everybody gets a monument. Let's all put up monuments.
That's why every time something like that happens, I start talking about Satan a lot. It's a cheap hack, but it gets the point across.
Well, two things then. First thing, there is an invisible pink unicorn monument at every church and every courthouse already.
Yeah, just putting you out there. And in all of their toilets.
That's right.
Ouch.
Second,
pointy.
Let's have Sunday Assembly take up that banner.
You know? Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's like at this point I might, but I think somebody. Intent clearly doesn't matter because you can start a church to make money.
Sure.
So I'm going to start. I may start a religious atheism organization, specifically for the purpose of showing flaws in this system. I mean that may be my step. I'm not going to say I believe. I'm not going to say I believe in anything. I'm not going to put a credo statement on there. I'm just going to do it to show flaws in the system.
We believe in pancakes.
I will be stopped 5 minutes in because I'm not a Christian. But that would be the point. And I'll go you one further. Have you heard about the Harvey Milk stamp?
Ooh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and how the American Family Association won't accept mail with the Harvey Milk stamp on it. And on, I think, Martin Wagner's Facebook wall, actually, I suggested that we should send checks for $5 to the American Family Association using the Harvey Milk stamp and seeing if they get cashed. And then there was a group of people who come in and say, no, I don't want to give them any money. I don't want any of my money going in their coffers. And I'm like, that's a little bit of money for a lot of tactical advantage.
Let's have some fun and document it.
Exactly.
Like, I'm putting my check into my
Harvey
Milk envelope.
Let's make them, that's $5 that they get in their coffers. They're going to have to spend a lot. If they spend more than, say, 10 minutes on this, it's cost them rather than there's a tactical thinking here that I think sometimes we skip because we're too afraid of letting of having the view of looking like we're helping them.
Even so, I mean, it'd just be delicious irony to have that little line item on your account saying, yes, cash check.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I'm going to do it. I really do.
I think I'd like to send them something with an addressed and stamped envelope on the inside as well, just for sort of like the extra in your face of having mail inside the mail with the Harvey Milk stamps on it.
All right. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about discrimination in the government because it's been going on a lot lately.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran.
And we host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. We invite a rotating panel of our friends over to talk about science fiction, comic books, movies, horror, animation, professional wrestling, video games, and George freaking Lucas.
It's a warts and all look at popular geek culture, where we tip sacred cows and use profanity while arguing about children's entertainment.
Think of it as the McLaughlin Group for nerds.
Find us online at radioversusthemartians.com.
Psst. Hey, I know that we all slip up sometimes, but not knowing your STD status at all, not a smart move. Did you know that STDs can even be transmitted through oral sex alone? Yeah, worried yet? With STDHomeTestKit.com, everything you need is shipped to you, where you'll have results in the comfort of your own home in less than 10 minutes. Be certain of your status with STDHomeTestKit.com.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Yeah, I like this version.
Yeah.
I love the 8-bit.
Welcome back. Ask an Atheist 206-420-0997. And we have some people to thank. Not just one person for Piggy's Challenge this week.
Yay.
Actually, a lot of people this week. In fact, so many, and some random, so I can't, or anonymous, so I can't name them. I'd like to thank Rick from Elma, Washington, Sheridan from Seattle, who writes, "This donation is specifically because Florida sucks."
I love you.
Scott from Langley, British Columbia, an old friend of the show, and everybody who donated in person at our 200th episode celebration. Thank you guys very much. As you know, every dollar you give to Peggy's Challenge, which is Peggy from Kent's challenge to all of the listeners of Ask an Atheist to help keep the show on the air, every dollar that goes into our PayPal account goes directly to keeping things going here on the show. So we have a very interesting interview today. This is such a weird... It's one of those stories, it's like you know it's out there, but then to have something, have it put in front of you so baldly just puts everything into context. And the story of Morgan Strong and Tamar Courtney have been popping up all over web forums and blogs. Who are they? They're just a non-religious Virginia couple preparing for their non-religious wedding. A county government official would conduct the legal paperwork, and a friend and family ceremony would take place later. Their plans hit a snag when one of the marriage officials appointed by the Franklin County judge started giving them trouble. What kind of trouble, you ask? Well, this kind of trouble. And before we talk to them, just for to understand the context, listen to this phone call.
Hello.
How you doing? Am I speaking with Bud Roth?
This is Hay.
How you doing? I just received a phone call. I guess my fiance had called up, looking to be wed in Franklin County.
Tamar?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, and, why was she declined the service?
Because she's agnostic and you're an atheist.
Okay,
I will not marry you.
Okay.
You don't believe in God.
I mean, but, like, that's your judgment on it, correct?
That's my decision.
Okay.
I'm not judging you. I just don't marry anyone that does not believe in God and believes that there is a God someplace. So I'm not going to talk the issue over with you, and I'm not going to argue about it, okay? I'm just not going to marry you, all right?
Okay. Do you know of someone who could do it with perhaps different views than you?
Well, the courthouse gave you another name, okay? They gave you two names, my name and another name. So you got to talk to him, okay? I can't answer for him.
Okay, awesome. And, I suppose that's it. Thank you for your time, brother.
Okay.
And for more context on this, if any more context can be had, we have Tamar Courtney and Morgan Strong. Tamar, are you with me?
I am.
And Morgan, are you with me?
I am.
Okay, so we heard the conversation Morgan had with this guy, master or something like that, this officiant. Tamar, you had spoke to him earlier. Can you give us an idea of what that phone call was like?
Well, honestly, it was really great at first. he agreed to do everything. We set up a time and date, and then he asked where we wanted to get married. And I said, you know, at the courthouse is fine. We'll be there filling out paperwork anyway. He told me that was illegal. I wasn't really sure about that because in our actual city where we've been trying to make this happen, they perform that on site all the time.
Right.
So he told me that we had to come to his church, and I'm okay with that. I'm not going to burst into flames, you know, churches are pretty, whatever. But then after, you know, we set everything up, he gave me the pricing, he gave me his location, he said, now I'm not trying to be funny, but what denomination are you? I told him that I identify as agnostic, Morgan as atheist, and he told me that he was not going to marry us, that we don't have a right to be wed.
Wow.
And that was the end.
That you don't have a right? Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
That, yeah, Dan is gobsmacked here, I believe is the word.
It's a good word.
Well, so people have marriages on courthouses all the time. My sister did. Your sister did.
Yeah.
Almost every time, you know, marriage equality happens, there's usually a marriage at the courthouse. This is a thing that people do. There's nothing. Do you know if they said you couldn't get married at the courthouse? Do you think they knew your religious affiliations or lack thereof, Morgan? But when you asked about the courthouse?
Well, I believe that a friend of mine commented on it and said it best, that it really seemed like this gentleman is just more so trying to get more people to come to his church. when the courthouse was called, you know, they gave us two names, just like Mr. Roth so elegantly put it. They gave us two names, both of which, because they work for the state, should be able to do religious and civil ceremony. And so one of the things that Tamar left out was that when she talked to him, he asked if we wanted a civil ceremony or a religious ceremony, and asked if we even knew what the difference was. So clearly this gentleman, nice. he offers both of them. Obviously, you know, favoring one over the other, which I think, you know, really is what caught him off guard, finding out that we were fine with the church, but it didn't mean anything to us ultimately because, again, she identifies as agnostic and I'm atheist. So I don't think that he knew our denomination. I think he was more so just trying to get people to his church, I suppose.
So being somebody who performs marriages for the county is in effect a marketing tool for him then?
That's the only way I could appropriately wrap my head around it if
right.
The first question he asked wasn't what denomination are we.
That's an aspect to this that I hadn't considered, that there was, well, I guess I should expect that people go to their churches, they give him money on the collection plate, he likes money, et cetera, et cetera. I just saw this was somebody, you know, somebody with some dominionist leanings. I never looked at it from an advertising and marketing perspective. That's a strange one. Well, I guess it's not a strange one. It completely makes sense. It just boggles my mind. But I guess, did you guys... is this a? I have to ask. Well, one, congratulations!
Yay!
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean seriously. But Tamar, is this still an ongoing thing, or have you guys figured out how to actually get married in the county in which you live?
Well, in the county in which we live, no. This is why we went to Franklin County, it's a neighboring county for us. We've been having a really hard time getting the circuit court officiant in Roanoke to get back to us to schedule something because they don't just take walk-ins. We've been working almost 3 weeks to have that happen. So long story short, we did contact the alternative option that the circuit court gave us in Franklin County. And I asked him. I was really upset. I was crying. You know, I never thought that I would ever be denied getting married, and I hate that happens for people, but I asked him flat out. I said, you know, I was just denied by the other officiant, and I'm going to ask you flat out, do you care what our denomination is? And he said, no, I don't care. I'm not here to judge. I just want to help you celebrate love. So we are hopefully, I don't know with the press that we're getting, if I have a sneaking suspicion we might get denied the marriage license tomorrow when we go up there.
Oh, wow.
But he's willing to marry us. So we'll see.
I'm very happy to hear that the second gent is just so much nicer, to say the least.
Yeah.
But Morgan, I really must congratulate you on keeping your calm with good old Bud Roth.
We were all very impressed. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, I think that's like the common ground. You know, I've got friends who are very religious, and that was their main thing. Like, I'm just surprised you didn't, you know, lose your cool on them. And I mean, and that's the thing is, like, I kind of wanted to, but at the same time, like, I'm a professional body piercer. I am modified. I'm tattooed. Like, I'm used to a certain level of look, stares, or treatment from various types of everyone, from whoever served my food to, you know, courts and cops and all that fun stuff. But I've never been just so adamantly, I guess, aggressively, kind of came at from someone whose views were just different than mine. Like, my biggest thing, and that's the biggest kind of gray area that's getting lost in a lot of these people sharing this story, because obviously it's like the phone game. You hear it once and then it's completely different by the end.
Yeah.
Is that people are just like, oh, you know, the court got it wrong and they just sent him to the religious, you know, officiate. But I mean, for one, obviously there should be no religious and civil officiate. There should be a state officiate and then private officiates. That's the separation of church and state. But, I was just so caught off guard to be faced with such discrimination that I don't even think I really had time to get angry.
That's a common thread.
I was just like shaking. Yeah, I was just like, I can't. I can't even wrap my head around it. But it's just that old, you know, good old Southern belief.
When somebody comes at you with no varnishing, no seeming understanding of the discrimination that they're causing, and no room for common ground, and essentially no quarter, shock is sometimes the response. Is like, okay, thanks, goodbye, and then you hang up, and then you have a minute to think about it, and then the shaking, like you said, the shaking starts, and a lot of people have been there. I was actually like, that is really cool. And going back to something we were talking about in the last segment, I thought, wow, that's some serious tactical thinking. He doesn't have to yell at this guy. He's got it on tape.
Yeah, and that was the thing. Like, my idea with taping it, like, I absolutely never thought it would get as much attention as it has. I mean, we've been, you know, we went out for a couple drinks last night and got stopped by a total stranger who the video made it to. Like, you know, this young girl at Starbucks, like, I think the other morning, gave us, you know, told us thank you for posting that, you know, that she's a Christian and she can't believe these, you know, religious nuts are denying us, whatever. But, like, the biggest, I guess my biggest concern with it, it's not so much that I don't believe he has the right to tell me what he said. You know, as a person, as a man of his quote-unquote God, he could tell me what he wants to. He could give me all the fire and brimstone that he would like, and that's fine. However, he can't do it on behalf of the state. That's where my issue comes in with this guy.
I was curious, did you guys, are you considering filing a complaint with the county or the state?
I called the courthouse after everything happened and we got everything squared away with the second officiant, and they were speechless. The clerk that actually answered had to put me on hold because she had no idea what to do. And
wow.
She directed me to write a letter to the judge explaining my grievances and my situation and what happened. And I've drafted that up and it's going out in the mail tomorrow, I guess.
So, well, I think the funniest part about that is that even with the letter drafted up, the first person who had interviewed us, I guess the friendly atheist, went ahead and called the courts the next morning to speak with the judge about it, and the judge immediately issued a statement defending Mr. Roth's right to decline services based on religion, and then deemed Bud Roth as the county state-appointed religious officiant. So while we were first offered a civil or religious ceremony, of course, finding out we weren't religious, completely denied based on the sole grounds that I'm atheist and she's agnostic, he no longer, like, the judge immediately was just like, oh, he just does religious ceremonies. Haha, this is swept under the rug. I don't agree with that whatsoever.
Yeah.
So now that this has sort of gone public, do you fear any retribution in your community, or are the people that you talk to in your community kind of as shocked as you were?
The people, I mean, it's been really, like, nicely received by our friends and family. You know, I've got some friends who are pretty religious and have kind of stepped out of it. You know, the studio I work at, they are just kind of on the fence about it. Like, everyone's very quiet about it, except for the people who strongly support it. You know, it went, after it kind of started to get snowballing, I went ahead and put it on the subreddit for atheism. And I've been called all kinds of really fun, colorful names, as well as, like, looking on various websites where it's been broadcasted or posted. I can't believe, like, some of the stuff is really awesome and everybody's super friendly. Some people are attacking our appearance and blaming that's why we got denied. Like, it's gotten crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, for the most part, like, the reception of it's been nice. Like, I mean, it's bad enough that in today's day and age we're just somehow still fighting for same-sex marriage. Like, that's pathetic enough. We shouldn't be fighting for religious freedom marriage. Like, that just doesn't make any sense.
Well said. So, I guess, you know, you're going to be filing a complaint. Looks like you've got everything, you're getting the actual marriage thing under control and actually getting that done. Mm-hmm. You said earlier, Tamar, that you might get denied the license. Under what grounds might they do that?
You know, I don't know. I think I've just been set up by friends who have kind of warned me, you know, that might happen, you know.
Yeah, it's a small county.
Negative publicity. It is a small county, and it's in the country, and it's very much old Southern mentality. And,
right.
You know, everybody is entitled to their opinions, but I don't think that it should be, I guess, broadcast and pushed upon other people. You know, I'm not trying to make anybody uncomfortable. Like Morgan said, Bud Ross is entitled to his opinions and entitled to his beliefs, but he has no right to push it on us, and I'm afraid that since the judge has already defended him, that we may be declined when we actually go to fill out the paperwork, just, you know, out of spite. I don't know, and I don't put those words.
I will say, if that is the case, like, that will do nothing but make, I mean, it'll do nothing but springboard this to even larger, like, as much as the judge may not want to, based on his personal beliefs, and I would hope that he's professional enough to separate his personal beliefs from, you know, his state duty.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be absolutely ridiculous of him to try and do anything like that, especially at this point when the thing's kind of snowballing itself. I mean, personally, I think that his stance on it, or, you know, the county stance on it in general, should be to just get us married to shut us up. You know what I'm
saying? Well, that's the thing. If they're looking to get out of heat, they should want this really basic facet of people's lives solved as soon as possible. They might say, yeah, they might deny if they deny the marriage license, they might say they're doing it because they don't want the heat or they don't want the attention, but let's not delude ourselves. It would be retaliatory.
Yeah.
That is what it is. Yeah, it that would be, how dare you pursue your rights in our county is basically what that would be saying. And
I think it would just springboard it into something much larger that if they don't want to deal with this, I highly doubt they would be even prepared to remotely think about the repercussions of doing that.
Yeah. Morgan Strong and Tamar Courtney, thank you very much. I guess if we want to get a follow up, where would we go to see how this story progresses, or do we? Since this is your lives we're talking about here.
Yeah, no, you're more than welcome. I'm sure it'll be, you know, on Facebook, or I mean, you guys have my email, my cell phone. Feel free to give me a call or shoot me an email if you guys would like to follow up to kind of know what's happening with this. I know a couple other organizations were potentially asking for interviews or potentially getting involved. I know a couple of friends have sent information to organizations like the ACLU and stuff. So I don't know. This could be it. It could get bigger. I have no idea from here.
And if we're ever in your neck of the woods, do we get a discount on tattoos?
Absolutely.
Oh, awesome. Good question.
Right.
Yeah. I've got some ideas. Well, thank you guys very much.
Well, thank you
so much for having us.
Yeah, we'll talk again soon. There's a lot of people on the subreddit, on the atheism subreddit, which suggests that they identify with atheists, who are saying the reason they're getting denied is their looks or whatever. I believe there's a technical term for those atheists: morons. How do you listen to this call and hear what this guy has to say and and then say, well, the reason they got turned down is because of the way he looks. No, they got turned down because he's an atheist and she's an agnostic. That's what he said. Take him at his word.
Very well-spoken guy.
Yeah.
It just seems very personable.
Well, well-spoken, whatever. And how you talk or how you look and shouldn't deny you rights.
Exactly.
That's driving me literally up the wall.
Let's play ultimate devil's advocate here and say that just for the sake of argument, let's say it was for the way that he looks.
Right.
Is that any more okay?
No.
No.
That's out of the fire into the same exact fire.
Exactly, yeah.
But I will say it sounds like because there's a lot of prejudgment going on, it sounds like, you know, either because they checked the wrong box or because there's a lot of talking down to, it sounds like. This is... When you say, oh, he got it because of the way he looks or blah, 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 you're okay. Yeah. What you are saying is you like things the way you are and at the way it is. And if you're posting on an atheist subreddit, which means you think you're connected to the atheism community, you're not helping. You're not part of the solution. You're part of the problem.
Let me just take a minute here to express my utter shock that people on any subreddit ever were making unsupported conclusions.
Yeah, I just want to... I don't Reddit. Well, for one thing, I don't understand Reddit. It's one of those. It's like Reddit and Tumblr are both like social media platforms that are. The web page gets replaced with this weird language that I do not understand, and the boxes don't go where they go, and
it's just like the ultimate message board, and I stay away from.
No, it's not the ultimate message board would be intelligible to a human being.
I think Reddit is to the ultimate message board as the walls of a bathroom stall are a community billboard.
Reddit is like
you get
Emacs.
All the opinions, even the crazy ones.
I don't mind crazy opinions, as you know. I hunt them down, but right. If I have to translate them out of Klingon in order to understand them, it's not really helpful to me. But I can't. You know, actually, I can completely believe that people in the atheism community would say that. But welcome to
in Klingon,
in fact. But welcome to completely missing the point.
Well, you got a whole bunch of people that are saying that they're atheists and saying that only people with what crew cuts should get married.
Yeah,
nice looking, clean cut 50s Americans.
Yeah. Well, once upon a time. There was a columnist in Chicago who said that, and this was 15, 20 years ago, Roper, I can't remember his first name, but he said that he was supportive of the gay community at the time, but he said if these gay pride parades, if they really wanted to make their point, they should wear what they wear to work to a gay pride parade, which I think makes sense. But he was basically decrying what actually goes on at a gay pride parade. And for a while, I agreed with him. But then I thought about it for a while. It's like, if you can't express yourself, if you can't do what you want to do...
Exactly what the parade is for.
That's what it's for. I'm missing the point. I'm changing my mind. And that's, there's an example of me doing that. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're going to go to break when we come back. We're going to have a bit of a cheer up. Well... Yeah, a bit of a cheer up with a moment of science. I mean, I'm always happy when people get married, but the circumstance is always going to stink. In this situation, I guess. I don't know.
Billy, I am a Nigerian prince, and I want to hide $1 billion in your locker.
Wow, $1 billion?
All I need is your lunch money.
What a great deal. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because you want to believe something doesn't mean you should. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Welcome back! This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. And now, a moment of science.
So today I want to talk to you about proof and what proof means in a scientific concept. So you might have heard at some point, and probably even on this show, that there is no empirical evidence for a supernatural being of any kind. Certainly, if empirical evidence was presented and withstood testing, such a being would cease to be supernatural and would become a de facto part of the natural world. But what exactly constitutes proof? Can we scientifically prove that there aren't supernatural beings if there isn't any evidence? Well, not exactly. It's a tricky problem because scientific thinking is built around the premise that ideas must remain in doubt. If no one had challenged the idea that the sun is really the wheels of Apollo's fiery chariot, we might have never discovered nuclear fusion. And if no one had challenged the idea that the god Thor is throwing lightning bolts at the Earth, we might never have discovered electricity. Thus, in science, it's not just important, but required that every idea is tested until it fails and is replaced by a new one. Some ideas get thrown out entirely. The flat earth theory of the ancient world was widely rejected because it didn't hold up to the mathematical and observational evidence provided by the ancient Greeks. But still other ideas are improved and elaborated upon instead of being rejected. For instance, when we determined that the earth was round, we called it a sphere, and we were mostly right. Later we found it wasn't quite a sphere, but rather an oblate spheroid. Still round, but not a sphere. And now there's discussion that the Earth's shape may be redefined at least once more into either sort of a pear shape or a triaxial ellipsoid. Either way, we know that the flat Earth theory was incorrect, and that a round Earth, regardless of the exact shape, is a more correct theory. In this way, science doesn't strive to prove things absolutely 100% beyond any shadow of a doubt, but what it does is provide overwhelming evidence that the old idea is wrong. Because, and here's the really important thing, in science, there is no such thing as proof. As the saying goes, proof is for alcohol and mathematics. Instead, science accepts ideas for which there is more and better evidence, and rejects competing ideas with less and worse evidence. The reason that there are no proofs in science is that proofs are both final and binary, which means that once a thing is proven in, say, mathematics or logic, that idea cannot be changed or overturned. But because science deals with our changing understanding of the natural world, it can't be finalized. Furthermore, scientific ideas cannot be binary because they represent the current best explanation out of all possible explanations for any given phenomenon. That means that scientific concepts or theories can't be broken down into either right or wrong answers, and instead stand as the best current answer, but can and do change when new evidence comes to light. So, what's the real takeaway here is, there's no evidence for supernatural beings, and the phenomena that were once attributed to them have better current explanations with actual empirical evidence. The current ideas are useful for predicting future events, like, say, earthquakes, but even better explanations are likely to come about as more data are collected. That means that we don't yet understand how the entire universe works, but we do understand how it doesn't work, just as we understand that the Earth isn't flat. This also means that you can take it with a grain of salt the next time you see a news article claiming that scientists have proven anything.
Fantastic. So, one question. I really hate challenging people, you know, word usage and stuff like this, but I guess in a modern age, is it really necessary to come up with a huge description of not round when you could just say, it's roundish. If you need more, here's a 3D model.
Well, sure, yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, it's nice to have specific words. If we're trying to describe a shape that's going to be useful for predicting, say, our satellite orbits.
I feel really strange being on the other side of precision, but I just sort of wonder at that sometimes.
Well, it matters if you're trying to plan things like the effects of gravity on your satellites. It does actually matter what shape the Earth is locally, not just sort of as a whole.
Yeah, which is why I think a really nice 3D model would be cool. So if you're interested in proof, you can hang out with us at Doyle's after the show for our usual post-show shindig, Doyle's Public House here on St. Helens in Tacoma. It's a place we hang out, I guess.
Is this either mathematical or logical proof, or is this the third variety?
The third variety, I believe.
Excellent.
Yes. So, here's a fun one. Here's one we've been talking about. The Chesterfield, Virginia County Board of Supervisors has limited opening prayers to ordained leaders of monotheistic religions. For several years, the board invited local clergy whose names are drawn from an official county list. Nearly all of the hand-picked leaders represent Christian denominations, and the county has excluded a Sikh and Wiccan community's requests to be added. Officials defended their decision, saying neo-pagan faiths do not fall within the Judeo-Christian tradition and invokes polytheistic pre-Christian deities. The ACLU has sent a letter advising the county that it must change its policy in light of the Greece decision. So here's the Greece decision being used for good and not awesome, if you will.
Well, this is the same guy that's been in the news for the last couple of weeks, hasn't he?
Yeah, this has been in the news for the last couple of weeks, and this ruling about Judeo-Christian stuff, I believe, goes all the way back to 2005, but it has been stirred up recently in light of the Greece decision.
Yeah, he's got issues.
So they're saying it invokes polytheistic pre-Christian deities.
Right.
So what I would like to know is a monotheistic pre-Christian deity okay? Or what about post-Christian polytheistic deities?
We're only allowed to worship Loki, but the Loki from the Avengers movie.
Okay,
but I don't think we can worship Yahweh, because you, as you were saying,
right, this is a monotheistic pre-Christian deity. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So
well, Christianity is still triune, anyways. That's still kind of polytheistic.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So this knocks Christianity right out of the park. Wow.
Does it?
Wow, we're at the it looks like you're having an idea, Dan.
Well,
or gas.
A little of both. Thanks. This is something I kind of wonder about when you're talking about polytheism. Like in Catholicism, you will pray to Mary or to various saints. Mm-hmm. At what point do you cross from being a monotheism to a polytheism, excluding the Trinity, because that's way too confusing an idea to start
with? Well, I feel much better moving back to the other side of the precision debate, saying if you have more than one God or you know, then yeah, it's once the number stops being one.
Okay.
You know, I mean, mono equals one.
Yes.
And if you start talking about the Holy Trinity, Trinity is three, not one. Therefore not monotheistic.
True.
It seems like really clear cut to me, but I'm not, I mean, I've heard all the cool apologetics they've got. It's cool. It's like one of those obfuscated programming contests. It's fantastic. But it's still three. You can't make three equals one. There are three lights.
I wonder what there are four lights. I kind of want to send out a survey to Catholics. And if you're a Catholic listening, Please call in. Tell us the answer. Of the three, which one is your favorite? I kind of favor the ghost, because I don't know, ghosts are fun. But
ghosts are cool.
I would still want to know who's your least favorite.
Oh, that's worse. Yeah. That's,
well, who like, you know, Father's Day is coming up, so who likes their dad, really?
Yeah,
I do.
No, it's three. But there's weird exploitations that can happen here when you start pinning things down. Religion, especially in the United States, in order to get around this whole law thing, has really had to redefine itself in order to basically meet the Greece decision, to make the Greece decision possible. So let's again go for the cheap hack and exploit it. Like Satan. I'm pretty sure that's a post-Christian monotheistic deity.
Like Satan?
Satan. Yeah. You know, we could definitely go with that.
If you're a listener who remembers the church lady, please comment.
How about Baha'i? Nobody talks about the Baha'i. But that's fairly monotheistic.
What about Rainbow Snake?
Rainbow Snake.
Yeah, that's an aborigine.
From the Dreamtime. Sorry, I thought you were going Adventure Time for a minute there.
No, I think that's Lady Rainicorn.
Oh, okay. Right.
Well, certainly a supernatural being. Well, I don't know. Maybe there may be in some corner of Cartoon America some small but devoted group of cultists that worship Lady Rainicorn.
If you are that, please call me. I want to interview you for PRQ, which is not dead. It just smells funny.
But I think we'll need a Korean interpreter.
Oh, possibly.
Yeah. That is Japanese.
Is it?
No, it's Korean.
Really?
It's definitely Korean.
Okay.
Well, according to Rosalind, it's Korean.
Okay.
And she'd know.
Yes. Okay.
But as you can see, a lot of these stories here, I think because of the Greece decision, I think we have a lot of religious people coming out of the woodwork going, oh, great, we can oppress people now. We can totally stomp on religious rights because it's only a token thing. It's only a token thing to want to get married. It's only a token thing to not have to pledge a belief in God every morning. It's only a token thing to not have to listen to somebody tell you how horrible you are before you get down to the business of government.
Let's turn that token thing right back around on them and not give them those services to them.
Yeah.
And see how they feel.
I can't pass up a good pun here, but I do want to say that the In God We Trust on the money is literally a token thing.
A token on a token.
Yeah.
In fact, it's a
we have to go
token.
Deeper.
We have to go deeper. Inside the O in God, there's another tiny little coin that says "In God We Trust" on it, and it's just it's coins all the way down, man. Coins all the way down.
And if they were Canadian ones, they might even have a turtle on them.
Very nice. But that's kind of my point. Am I just out in the weeds here, or is the fact that a lot of these court cases are sort of, you know, the probabilistic waves are sort of collapsing in these cases now in ways that we don't like? Is this because of the Greece decision? Is this the feedback from it? I don't know, but it really seems likely. So at some point I would like to talk about that. Dan, thank you very much. Wes, thanks a bunch.
It's been a pleasure.
This is Ask an Atheist. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. Leave us a voicemail at 206-420-0997 or email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. We will be at Doyle's. My name is Sam. My technical assistant was Sharon Zelnowski. Becky Friedman did the writing, and my co-hosts were Dan Lombardo and Wes Benetti. Back in the studio. I'm glad it worked out. See you guys next week.